person who's going to come up and share with us. And so come on up, Dawn. And I don't think she needs an introduction. We all know Dawn Orr. So thank you, Dawn. And take it away.
Thank you, bud. Thank you. Oh, well, here we are. And I say here we are because I have been a Christian for 39 years. And so I'm not new to what God has done and is doing. And today I'm being obedient because 26 years ago, I had a prophecy over me that someday I would preach. And I remember thinking, well, I don't think me, but that's nice. And it's cool. I'm gonna try and stay on point because look at how much I've got. But I just want to say one thing that I've done with my prophetic words, and I'm glad that I did it, was if you have them on tapes or whatever, then I put them into my voice memos on my phone, and then you can listen to them. And so that's what I was doing. And I heard this prophetic word that was spoken over me 26 years ago, saying that someday I would preach. And so just casually walking through my house, I said, well, Lord, if you want me to preach, then have Paul ask me. So as soon as the text came in, I thought, well, I guess that's it. And I didn't say, well, let me pray about it. Let me think about it. Let me figure it out. I thought, no, I will come in obedience and preach. And I want to thank the worship team. Wow, that was so awesome. So awesome. And thank you, Nisha, for your word, because that's right, we're branded in Christ. We identify with Christ. And I am humbled this morning and thankful for all that God has done in my life. So let's just open with a word of prayer, and then I will begin. Father, I thank you. I thank you that you are in us and in this place today. I thank you for your presence. God, I'm honored and I'm humbled to bring the word this morning. I pray, God, for each person here and online that they will hear your voice, not mine, that you'll speak to them and you'll minister to them. I thank you, Lord God, that this morning is dedicated to you. In Jesus' name, amen. So as I was preparing to speak today, I was thinking of the seasons in my life, the ones that I've gone through and the one I'm currently in. I thought it was interesting. There again, Renee and the worship team sang that song that talked about seasons. And I remember the first time that someone referred to a season in our life was when Colin had been very seriously injured, and a cowboy preacher, his name was Ronnie Christian from the States, he said to Colin, Colin, this is just a season. Someday you'll look back and you'll think, did I ever go through what I went through? And he was right. It was just a season. Google answered my question, why are they called seasons? Well, it's derived from the old French word, saison, meaning sowing or planting. It's originally made reference to the act of preparing plants for growth. I just have to get this where my glasses work better. And I'm going to move this. No distractions. So preparing plants for growth. So in this current season that I'm in, I've been focusing a lot on seed time and harvest. So in the natural realm, we decided to plant a small garden to let our grandchildren, Harper and Jack, see the power of a seed. Now, I know for anyone here that is a farmer, has been a farmer, or a gardener, they understand this whole process. And I can honestly say it actually helped my faith, because when we planted the seeds, interesting enough, I had this real feeling of fear or anxiety of what if that plant doesn't germinate? What if it doesn't come through that soil? And I know I mentioned it to some of my family and they kind of laughed and they're like, Dawn, it always works. And I'm like, I know, but I had a moment of doubt that it was like, Really? What if it doesn't? And so what if we see failure? And then what would we say to our grandchildren? And what would we tell them? And so I had this fear of failure. Now, in the Bible, God has this to say about seed time and harvest. In Genesis 8 and 22, as long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease. Galatians 6, 7 and 9 in the Message says, don't be misled. No one makes a fool of God. What a person plants, he will harvest. The person who plants selfishness, ignoring the needs of others, ignoring God, harvests a crop of weeds. But the one who plants in response to God, letting God's Spirit do the growth in him, harvests a crop of real life, eternal life. So let's not allow ourselves to get fatigued in doing good, because at the right time, we will harvest a good crop if we don't give up or quit. 2 Corinthians 9 and 6 says, remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. Now, the scripture that I want to share now is one that you're probably very familiar with. It's in Matthew 13, and it's the farmer who plants the seed and the different grounds that the seed falls on. So I'm going to read this chunk from verse 18 to 23, and it says, now listen to the explanation of the parable about the farmer planting seeds. The seed that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message about the kingdom and they don't understand it. Then the evil one comes and snatches away that seed that was planted in their hearts. The seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and they immediately receive it with joy. But since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word. The seed that fell among the thorns represents those who hear God's word, but all too quickly, the message is crowded out by the worries, yes, worries of this life and the lure of wealth, so no fruit is produced. The seed that fell on good soil represents those who truly hear and understand God's word and produce a harvest of 30, 60, or even 100 times as much as has been planted. So the seed here is representing the word of God. So let's now discuss the season that I'm currently in. For me, for probably a better part of a year and a half, I've been in a season that I've really wanted my full attention to be, and probably needed it, not only wanted, but needed it, to be on the promises of God's word. I've been desiring to walk totally dependent on God and his promises and plans. My quest has been to learn how to trust God. Trust means to lean on, to rely on, and be confident in the Lord. I want or wanted what Psalm 37 and 5 says in the Amplified, commit your ways to the Lord. Roll over and repose each care of your load on him. Trust, lean on, rely on, and be confident also in him, and he will bring it to pass. I feel I spent most of my Christian life trying. And in this season, my desire is to enter his rest, to make a conscious choice to surrender and release whatever burden that I might be carrying or is trying to come on me. I only want to do and say what the Father tells me to do and say. Before the beginning of this season, I had a lot of fear, anxiety, self-reliance, fear of man, people-pleasing, and probably the list could go on. I was tired of living in a constant mind battle with very little peace. So the following points are how to win in every battle. And I thought it was interesting because Pastor Paul said last week, and I thought, hey, that's in mine already. But yes, we are in a battle. So you might know that, but some people don't know that. The scripture that is in Ephesians 6 and 12, so we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So I'm really into the Message translation right now, and so in the Message translation, it says, and that about wraps it up. God is strong, and he wants you strong. So take everything the Master has set out for you, well-made weapons of the best materials, and put them to use so you will be able to stand up to everything the devil throws your way. This is no weekend war that we'll walk away from and forget about in a couple of hours. This is for keeps, a life or death fight to the finish against the devil and all his angels. Yeah, and so what I want to interject here is, you know, this song, it's there again. I've been a Christian for 39 years, so maybe I heard it 39 years ago. Some might relate, some will not relate, but the words. What I have to, and we have to remind ourselves, is what this song says. I've got the victor living in me. I've got the victor living in me. I'm not moved by what I feel or see. I've got the victor living in me. Amen. And so some of the steps that I've been using in this season is, first of all, to take time to be still and know that he is God. For me, this works the best early in the morning. I do, like, you know, you never know when people speak into your life or say something, how that will impact you years later. Years ago, a Salvation Army minister, his name was Alan Drury, he said, oh, I like to get up early in the morning, take my cup of coffee, and go have it with the Lord. And so I thought, you know what? I'm going to do that. And coffee, tea, whatever. So you need to find a quiet place, and it might have to be early before the distractions that seem to start once everyone is up won't interfere. Something I've most recently started as well in this time is what I learned at the Identity Conference. And Trevor taught how to meditate a scripture, and he gave this one as an example. And so if you just want to close your eyes, I'm going to do what he did. And it is amazing how when you break it down this way and actually think about be still and know that I am God, how it just ushers in such a peace and such a presence. So if you want to just bow your eyes while I do this, this is what sometimes when I go into my alone time with God, or if I'm feeling anxious, I do this. So be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am. Be still and know that I. Be still and know that. Be still and know. Be still and. Be still. Be. This exercise causes you to calm yourself and to enter in. And I've even sometimes in the night, you know, you can wake up and your mind wants to take off. And I just do that scripture like that, you know, to be still and know that I am God. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Psalm 23 and 3. Sometimes when we haven't been refreshed by God, we end up living in a hurry. Can anyone relate to that? End up living in a hurry. I still can be in a hurry. But we keep our souls and our minds busy going from one thing to the next. We become anxious, and after a long enough, we begin to think there might be something wrong with us. In John 10 and 11, Jesus says that he is the good shepherd, and we are his sheep. This means that Jesus provides the right path that we should walk on, spiritual protection and guidance through prayer, and also spiritual refreshment for our soul. When we spend time with Jesus, part of his job then is to refresh us. So we actually get refreshed. But in order to do that, we have to follow him into those quiet places. We have to leave the noise and notifications of the world behind us and learn how to slow ourselves to the pace of Jesus. We don't have to hurry with our time spent with him. When we learn to quiet our souls by removing those distractions, we can simply enjoy being with Jesus. When we learn to enjoy Jesus, then he does his part of refreshing our souls that are parched and weary without him. I love the scripture that says, as the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after thee. If you find this difficult, and I did find it difficult, this is an indicator that your soul isn't used to resting. Your life will be so much healthier and satisfying if you make a daily habit to be refreshed by God. One preacher that I follow and was sort of listening on this subject, she asked the question, have you been consistent this week with seeking first his kingdom instead of seeking first your cell phone?
Ouch.
Scripture tells us that we are to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. She went on to say, giving God the first 15 minutes of your morning instead of giving the first fruits of your day to Facebook and Instagram, that you will see a real switch in your life. And so I decided to do it. I decided, okay, you know, because you can so mindlessly get up, take your phone, take a look. You just mindlessly do it. And so I decided, no, I'm not gonna open up Facebook, Instagram, any of that before I've actually spent time with God. And there's an actual switch that happens. If you continue this daily practice, you'll be amazed at the breakthrough that occurs. We sang about that this morning too. She talks about breakthrough being a fave word in our Christianese culture. We often believe it is a miraculous suddenly that happens out of nowhere. But the truth is, breakthrough is the moment of culmination when there is tangible manifestation of small actions done repeatedly and consistently over time. Habits. Anytime you see what looks like a breakthrough, it is the end result of a long series of little things done consistently over time. No success is immediate. No collapse is sudden. And I just thought, you know, you could refer this to an athlete. No success is immediate. No collapse is sudden. So in our spirit life, same thing. And I do believe in suddenlies, I really do, but it caused me to think, maybe actually, if you tracked it, would it be because you were consistently doing what God had asked you to do, what you're called to do, what you know to do? Another preacher, she said, never underestimate the power of consistency. Every suddenly she experienced in her life had taken an average of 15 to 20 years of behind-the-scenes constancy. Now, there again, I believe we're in a season now that this 15 to 20 years, because I've been seeing it happen in things that we have prayed, in things that we've declared, there's been a suddenly. And so I'm not saying it takes 15 to 20 years. But it is the small choices you make regularly that compound over time, and before you know it, you're reaping the rewards for your diligence. Do you know that whatever seeds you are sowing will reap a harvest after its own kind? Romans 12 and 2 says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. The Message translation puts it this way. I love this. So here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. Don't be so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what He wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. And, you know, I know Pastor Paul spoke on that too, that, you know, this is a year that let's mature in Christ. And so that scripture says that God brings the best out of you. He develops well-formed maturity in you. So I would say make a quality decision, because we make decisions every day, but make a quality decision to renew your mind daily. Amen. And so another thing, you know, I thought that I just started this, and then I was doing a little house cleaning. I have a lot of journals, actually. I thought, here's the new thing. I'm going to tell them to do this. And it's like, well, actually, I've done this before, but I'm getting a little, maybe, I think probably more diligent and habit-forming in this, to get a journal. And when you go into that quiet time with God, have your journal. And when He, you know, it just baffles me that I would happen to be reading somewhere in my Bible, and it's exactly what I'm wondering I should do or need to do or would like to do. So I write those scriptures out. Or if I'm sitting with Him and I feel like, oh, I like what I feel He's saying within me, I write it down. And so it's so cool to go back and look and be like, wow, there's a real pattern here of what God is showing me. And so then you have it written down, you can look back and you can see that it's like, actually, this is what God is teaching me. And I'd even said at Our Lady's Bible study one time, man, the things that God's showing me in the journal, I probably could do a message. Oh, I probably could. Be careful what you say. And we can laugh about that, but that is the other scripture. Be careful what you say, because life and death are in the power of your tongue. Speak life. Speak life. So Pastor Paul also had a really good suggestion when it came to journaling and spending time. And I've done this as well. I don't do it as consistently as I probably should, but it sure is a cool exercise to do. And so it's take your journal, sit down, want to ask God a question. You know, I'd write Dawn and I would say, God, why does, you know, I'd fill it in. And then I would listen and see what God says and then write down what God says. And you can just keep dialoguing that way. And if you actually sit still, He does talk. He does speak. So one day, I'll give you a personal example. I said, God, I want to ask this question. What is the root of this anxiety caused by not being able to keep everyone happy? So that was my question. What is the root of this? And God quickly replied, fear of man. My next question was, well, what is fear of man? Like, you know, when you think fear of man, well, I'm not afraid of man, but what is it? Like, so as I sat there, I felt, you know what, I'm just going to Google this. So was that God telling me, or that was me thinking I'm just going to Google it? But I Googled it. And the explanation was the desperate quest for the approval of other people. Proverbs 29 and 25 says, fear of man will prove to be a snare. Just as an animal caught in a trap can't perform its God-given function, when you or I give into the fear of man, we can't do what God's calling us to do. So if you're trying to keep, I was trying to keep everyone happy. I mean, I even just kept my circle real small, and I still can see myself do that, because if you're trying to keep everyone happy, man, it's easier if you only just got a few in that circle. The more you get in the circle, oh. So the safety from that, from people's opinions comes from putting your trust in or fearing the Lord. And fearing the Lord means a reverent respect for him. Allow what Jesus and the Word of God has to say about your situation and let that be the final word, period. So instead of letting your mind run off in all these directions, well, you know, right from like, oh, we have four people here and this one wants hot dogs, hamburgers, steak, and pizza. You know, oh dear, if I choose one of those, everyone else won't be happy. You know, like, I know it sounds weird, but serious, I was at that place. And it's just like, you know what? You can pray and ask God even in those simple things. In the simple things. It doesn't have to be something complicated, and yet it can be something complicated. It might sound easy enough, but this is where that battle begins. It's in your mind, and you need to be planting seeds or God's promises into your mind. Another thing that I have really started to practice is to bring captive all the thoughts and to cast all the care. 2 Corinthians 10:4 and 5 says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." So what does it mean, bring that thought captive? It means choosing what you allow to take root in your mind. I wrote, hear that, because do you hear that, Dawn and everyone else? Choosing what you allow to take root in your mind. What are you allowing to take root? What seeds are you sowing into your mind? In the natural, if we sow carrots in the garden and we're expecting peas, well, pretty obvious, you're not going to get peas. So if you sow fear in your mind, then don't expect peace in your circumstances. Whatever you meditate on becomes your truth. And I'm sure you all know that. I'm sure if you notice that if all of a sudden that little thought comes into your head, if you decide to meditate on that, it grows into a monster. And the enemy of our soul kicks that door wide open, and before you know it, you're in a mess. So you have to choose, no, what I'm listening to right now, I'm going to change the channel. I'm going to say, God, take these thoughts right now, because I know that they're not from you. And sometimes it's as simple as singing, "Jesus loves me, this I know," until that record in your mind changes. But we have to choose. Raising our boys, we always use the analogy of a bull rider when talking about what they were thinking on. Not that I've ever rode a bull, but I've been around a lot of rodeos. So when riding a bucking bull, the bull rider needs to keep their focus on the head of the bull. That's where they need to be looking when they're riding that bull. If they look to the dirt, that's exactly where they end up, in the dirt. No 8-second ride finished, no winning done, no shiny new buckle. So you need to be watchful of what you're feeding into your spirit man. Watch what you're focusing on. You might be planting a crop that you don't want to harvest. So there again, be very mindful. So we would tell our boys, be mindful of what you're looking at, what you're listening to, what you're feeding into your spirit man. Because pretty soon you'll be like that bull rider and you'll be looking in the dirt, and that's where you'll end up. And that's not God's plan. The Lord tells us in 1 Peter 5 and 7 to cast all our cares upon him, for he cares for you. Another translation says, give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares for you. But you know what? It continues on in verse 8 and 9, and it says, stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Stand firm against him and be strong in your faith. So I've most recently heard it preached that, you know, we usually all are really good with quoting that verse 7. Cast all my cares upon you, for you care for me. I give all my worries to you because God cares for me. And that is the truth. That is the truth. But you know what? It goes on to say that if you're not careful, if you're not staying alert, if you're not watching out, that great enemy wants to come along. And so if you're full of stress, full of worries, full of cares, full of anxieties, you are the one that is devourable. Therefore, let go of your cares to the Lord, for he cares for you, and you will become the one that is undevourable. Lastly, but definitely not leastly, it just came in the order that I was doing it because this could be number one, to pray God's word, to pray his word, his promises to your specific situation. God's word will never, never return void. Isaiah 55:11 says, it is the same with my word. I send it out and it always produces fruit. It will accomplish all that I want it to do, and it will prosper everywhere I send it. Hebrews 6:17-19 in the Message says, when God wanted to guarantee his promises, he gave his word, a rock solid guarantee. God can't break his word. And because his word cannot change, the promise is likewise unchangeable. We who have run for our very lives to God have every reason to grab the promise hope with both hands and never let it go. It's an unbreakable spiritual lifeline. The Word of God, the Word of God. So whatever circumstance you're facing, whether it's for healing, financial breakthrough, relationship issues, mental health issues, addiction issues, the list could go on. I encourage you, find the scripture promises on your situation and start praying. Start declaring them. Plant the seed of his word into your heart and declare it out loud from your mouth. When the pressure is really on, and you know what? You know who puts that pressure on? It's the enemy. The enemy comes and he goes, okay, speaking of what you're speaking about, can I put enough pressure on you that you'll speak death instead of life? So as soon as you feel that pressure, just remember there's an enemy of our soul and he wants us to speak out of our mouth something that we maybe don't want to reap that harvest. He is a defeated foe. He's defeated. We just need to take the sword, which is the word of God, and chop his head off. I've most recently, I've started a board that, there again, on recipe cards, I've been writing down scriptures for certain situations and circumstances going on that I want to know the truth, and the truth will set me free. So I put them on my little board. And sometimes when I'm feeling like that, I might first of all be still and know that I am God, do that meditation, do that exercise, and then I will go and I will read those recipe cards out loud to remind myself the word of God will not return void. It always produces fruit. I even had a time in my life where I was going through a health issue. And I wrote one of those scriptures, a healing scripture, on a card, and I put it in my pocket, and I'd be at work, and I would think, oh boy, I can't do this, and the pressure would be there, and I would go to the washroom, and I would take that card out, and I'd read that card out loud over and over, and it would bring peace. Sometimes, you know what, you just got to do it afraid. You just got to do it afraid. I truly believe that you can't fight the enemy with thoughts. You need to take the word of God and you need to say it out loud. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. We are righteous because of Jesus living inside of us. So just to summarize those points, I just encourage you to set a time, make a quality decision to be still and know that He is God. Read God's word and sow the seeds you want to later harvest. Get a journal and journal what God is speaking to you or showing you. Bring captive all your thoughts and cast all of your cares. Don't just let your mind take off so that you're the one that the enemy can then devour. Cast those cares. Speak instantly. Pray God's word. Find the promise to your situation or circumstance. And the Lord said, "My presence shall go with you, and I will give you rest." Exodus 33:14. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Hebrews 4:11. The only labor we need to do is to spend time with Jesus, and He will give you rest. So in closing, and to tie in with the seed time and harvest, as I mentioned at the start of this message, the seed we planted in our natural garden has started to produce. It's broken through the ground and the plants are visible. We've even had a garden lettuce salad. Oh, and some radishes. So in our spiritual walk, we want to be the ones that hear the word of God and produce fruit. We want to be doers of the word, doers of the word. So that takes intention, that takes choice. We don't want to be just heedless hearers. To grow our faith, we need to be intentional. We need to be addicted to the word of God. And you know what's really cool? Probably in the natural realm, I had a father that was addicted to alcohol, and so I understand addiction in that sense, that literally, I mean, he could take a 40 of whiskey or whatever it's called, rye, whiskey, and drink the whole thing in one day. I mean, that's addiction. But we need to get that we're addicted to the Word of God, and what I have discovered, the more that you are intentional and the more that you start reading His word and whatever, the more actually you want to. The more that you think, you know, I'd like to listen to that teaching. Oh, I'd like to listen to that worship song. Oh, I'd like to sit down and read again because, you know, the last time I read, this is what he said. I wonder what he's going to say this time. So you become addicted to the word of God. So with that natural garden, if we had ignored it and we didn't water it and we didn't pull out the weeds, soon it would wither and it would die. So we want to draw nourishment from the Word of God so we can bear fruit and our spiritual life can reveal how God is working in us. We lean on God by going to Him and creating a relationship with Him. Psalm 9:10 says, "Those who know your name trust in you, for you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you." Amen. So I'm going to have Angela play a song by Godfrey Bertel, and it's called "Come Away." And I would just, as this song is playing, I would just, you know, encourage you to close your eyes and just spend some time with God. Let Him speak to you. When the song is over, I'm going to say it's over, but if you want prayer, I am willing to pray, and I'm sure Laredon would come and help pray and anyone else. So we'll just close in prayer, and after the song's over, if you feel like you're finished, I just ask you to just go and visit out in the foyer so that those that want to stay can just stay in God's presence and can come and receive ministry if they want. So I'm going to close in prayer, and then I'll have Angela play this song. Father, I thank you that you are our God. I thank you, God, that you desire to have relationship with us, that you say to us, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. God, I pray that you would just take our hearts and draw them close to you. I pray that as this song plays, you would speak to each and every one. I pray, Lord God, that captives would be set free this morning. I pray that anyone that is under condemnation right now would be delivered in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, we praise you and thank you that we have the victor living in us. Thank you, Jesus. Take these words and those that are good seed, plant them in the hearts of each and every one of us so that we might truly live.